Welcome to the Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Eisley Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
Well, guys, it's a great time to be a Star Wars fan. The news and the stories just keep coming. It's hard to keep up.
That's what she said.
But we will do our best to keep you up to date with the latest and greatest Star Wars news as we approach Rogue One and Episode 8. You have found the Wretched Hive Podcast, Episode 4.
We are Torking recording. The Moonfish.
We are recording for... February 19th, 2016, and the Wretched Five is once again in the house. As always, we are joined by my partners in crime, and it is my pleasure to introduce them once again this week. We have, of course, your good friend and mine, Greg Lent.
No, let's start from the bottom up this week. We're going to start from the bottom up.
We're going to switch it up? All right.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're going to switch it up. Well, then, we're going to have to start with...
Power bottom.
We're going to start with... Dave, do not call me Harry Potter.
Ah, happy February, everybody.
Happy February to you, too.
Happy belated Valentine's Day.
That wish of love comes from the captain of the Millennial Falcon. Nico Rodriguez.
That's me checking in. Red Five standing by.
And of course, we've got lifelong Star Wars fan, Scott Ivansky.
Yeah, one of these times I'm going to do a podcast where I'm not sick. This is going to be great.
Why break the streak?
I know.
And last, but certainly, well, maybe least, I don't know. Your good friend and mine, Greg Lent.
So thank you, Steve. So I guess we're all taking on personalities, as my wife has told me. I'm the angry one, apparently. I don't know if that's the case.
But Dave you're our friend and mine.
Yeah. And you are all my friends, so thank you very much. So Dave is the smart one. Nico's the young one. Scott is the sick one. I am the angry one. Steve, you are the one who wrangles us.
You are the one to rule them all.
I am the cat wrangler.
Oh, wait, wrong nerddom, sorry.
Wrong genre. Shut up, Picard.
Make it so. Well, let's start out this week, guys, with shout-outs. Guys, we now have tens of fans.
Woo! Tens!
Tens of fans?
Tens of fans. We have 26 likes on our Facebook page.
Woo!
That's right. Facebook.com/WretchedHivePodcast if you haven't checked it out.
Clearly they're not all my friends because all of my friends are on this podcast.
Well, now, Dave, that's not entirely true. We've got our first shout out, I believe, is going to a couple of folks that you are Facebook friends with.
Dave, are they real folk?
Do not call me Harry Potter. Faith Eastling and Anthea Lacemaker. Are you familiar with these two individuals, Dave Potter?
I'm familiar with one of them. Anthea is my sister-in-law.
Anthea,
and
okay.
I'm assuming that Faith is a friend of hers.
Does she make lace for a living, though?
No, not for a living.
Okay. Just
well,
checking.
Faith and Anthea had some... choice words for us on Facebook. I don't know if you guys saw this, but they were talking about the show back and forth and giving us some props and giving us some critiques, guys.
Nice.
Yeah. Ooh, okay. And the one that I thought we really need to address straight up in a real way came from Faith. Again, Faith.
Like in a real, real way or in a sarcastic shit?
No. This is real. I'm not being a jerk. I think we need to talk about this because
Did you need to clarify some of these things with me first?
Not being obnoxious or anything like that right now. Totally real. This is her comment. I think we need to address it. She writes on Facebook, after having listened to the last show, she writes, "Ugh, guy basically said you can't call yourself a lover of Star Wars if you hate the prequels."
Wow.
Wait.
Slow down there, Sparky.
You can't call yourself a Star Wars lover if you hate the prequels?
No, let me repeat just so we're all on the same page here. This is what Faith wrote. Okay, Faith wrote, "Ugh, guy basically said you can't call yourself a lover of Star Wars if you hate the prequels." In other words, she's accusing one of us of saying, if you love the prequels, you aren't a Star Wars fan.
Which one of us said that?
Probably you, Greg.
Did
Angry Smurf say that?
I don't feel that at all, actually. I think that there's room for all of us in there. If I said that, I must have been high.
You mean it was, a day of the week?
Just because they're not our favorites doesn't mean that they're not your favorites.
It's been well documented. I like two of the three prequels better than I like Return of the Jedi.
Well, and that was my response. I said, I host the show. I love the prequels. So I don't, frankly, I'm not sure where Faith is getting this information here. I don't know if one of us said it and she misinterpreted, or did we actually say that?
Yeah, I don't know if I said that. I'll go out on a limb here and say that I am not a fan of the prequels. However, that doesn't mean I don't enjoy certain aspects of it. And I watched each one of those things at least 15 times, so as much as I say I might hate the prequels, I still watch them. I still own them.
You know the one thing the prequels do have on any of the other four movies so far, and I will put the prequels above Force Awakens in this regard, the lightsaber duels are fantastic in all of those movies over any of the lightsaber duels in the other four movies.
I totally agree for Phantom Menace. And I partially agree for Revenge of the Sith. I think the Phantom Menace, hands down, is the best lightsaber fight out of any of the movies.
Oh yeah,
Obi-Wan and Darth Maul.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one's really strong.
I don't know. Palpatine Yoda in the Senate was a pretty cool lightsaber duel, and that was in Attack of the Clones, right?
No, it was Yoda Dooku in Attack of the Clones and Yoda Palpatine in Revenge of the Sith.
Okay.
Although, what was cool about the Obi-Wan Darth Maul at the end of the lightsaber battle in Episode 1 was that that's two human actors. I loved the Yoda lightsaber duels, and I thought it was so cool, when he pulls his robe back and uses the force to pull his lightsaber over to his hand, and I mean that's just some badass stuff. But at the end of the day, it's an animated, a digitally animated character. I just thought that Ewan McGregor, what's the actor's name that played Darth Maul?
Ray Park
just absolutely crushed it in Episode 1. That's just a great, great battle there at the end.
And I'll say that Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen in Vader Kenobi 1, the rumble on the lava planet jungle, really, although very tightly choreographed because they are both actors and not swordplay masters, just is awesome. It's very, very fast, very kinetic. You can tell that they rehearse that for weeks on end because they're striking fast and hard the whole time.
Yeah, I agree. I think, as much as I used to love the Obi-Wan Darth Maul fight, I have a tendency, maybe it's the darker tone, maybe it's the music that's going in the background, but it certainly is the aggressive nature of the two fighting, Hayden Christensen and Ewan McGregor in Revenge of the Sith is a really good fight. pretty brutal.
Revenge of the Smurf.
I just feel like for all the choreography that existed in Sith, it just feels a little fake and staged to me because they're just all over the place. Hmm. You know, they're fighting down the lava flow. They're fighting, climbing up the things that's disintegrating the lava, and then Kenobi's yelling, you know, it's over, Anakin, I've won, I have the high ground. I just like how grounded the lightsaber duel in Phantom Menace felt. Mm-hmm.
Although I will say that the effects of the lava planet on Mustafar there on episode 3, that's some great, great animation. I mean, all of that, when you think about all of that is green screen or blue screen or whatever they were using back then. It's impressive visually.
Oh, there's no doubt the technical achievements of the prequel trilogy are just off the charts. Just off the charts good.
Agreed.
So, as
an apology to, I'm sorry, what was the name again?
Faith.
That would be Faith.
Faith. As an apology to Faith, if we said that, we are sorry.
I think this can be, we can file this as our first retraction. If we said that you can't call yourself a lover of Star Wars if you hate the prequels, we take it back.
Now, we're not owning up to that, but if that's what happened, then we're taking it back. But yeah, we're not saying that's what happened.
I was going to say, it's something I could have, I don't remember saying it, but I could have said something like that sarcastically. Mm-hmm. If I said it sarcastically, then I don't take it back because I meant it sarcastically, not literally.
it's through you for not getting sarcasm.
That's right.
No, but hey, that doesn't always come across, so there you go.
And I'll add, if we all agree for sure, 100%, if you like Jedi, you can't be a Star Wars fan.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, so shout out number 2 goes to, well, this is a unique one, guys. I got to set the stage a little bit. A couple weeks ago, I had a hard week at work. It was rough. I just had one of those weeks. It was just tough. And Friday night on my way home, I stopped at our local microbrewery that I love so much called Timeless Pints.
Oh yeah,
and I happen to be wearing a jacket that I have that I got from Celebration this last year.
Was it a Wretched Hive jacket?
No, but we will be coming out with those soon. Stay tuned.
It was a
Star Wars Rebels cast crew jacket that I got at the show there, and I sat down with my beer, and this guy across from me was kind of looking at me and. And him and his significant other there were just sort of, you know, we weren't really talking. We were sharing a table, but we weren't talking. And finally he got brave enough and said, I love your jacket. Where'd you get it? And I shared. And turns out the guy's a huge Star Wars fan. And his name was Joe.
And hi, Joe.
So I wanted to give a shout out to Joe because we had about a half an hour conversation that included some of the most unique theories about Star Wars that I think I've ever heard. I actually recorded tape on Joe.
Wait, physical tape?
Actually, it's not tape. I take that back. I think I'm showing my age.
So I went out and I searched for a tape recorder, and then I found some place I could buy cassettes. And I told Joe, wait here. I'll be back in 1985.
I popped it in my Betamax when I got home. And
did you click the little red circle and the play button?
First of all, I think it's amusing that that Nico has no idea what I'm really talking about right now. Anyway, I recorded our conversation, and it didn't come out on my phone. It was really loud in there. You can't hear it. But I wanted to share one of Joe's theories because I thought it was fascinating. I mean, we were all over the Star Wars universe. He was throwing stuff out there left and right. At one point, we were talking about episode 4, and Joe asked me, who killed Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru?
Stormtroopers.
Of course. That's what I said. He said, no. Boba Fett killed Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru.
Actually, this is very relevant. If you talk about Shoot, Greg shared with us in one of our threads the Darth Vader comic books. And I read through all of the issues on the Darth Vader comic books. And they talk about how Boba Fett showed up back at the homestead and Luke revisited just to pay some respects to the homestead. And Boba Fett was there looking to study Luke to be able to find him to bring him to Vader, because that was his first bounty before Solo, was to find Luke and bring him to Vader. And there was actually a fight between Luke and Boba Fett in the homestead, so that would make sense that he went there to find Luke and didn't find him and killed the people who were there.
You had made comment in that, I forget if it was text or email or whatever that chain was, that you said the Darth Vader comics had a bunch of plot holes in them. You need to go back and read the Star Wars comics alongside it, because the stories take place concurrently. So all the plot holes in the Vader comic get filled in by the Star Wars comic.
Yeah, I think it's between issues, I think it's like 11 to 15. They have huge jumps that expect you to know what's going on that just seem like there's something missing.
Yeah, go read the Star Wars comic, and that will fill in a lot of that stuff.
Well, Joe's theory was that essentially, and Joe, if you're listening, I apologize. He did subscribe to the podcast right there in front of me, which was nice. But Joe suggested that, you know, Boba Fett monitors the Imperial transmissions, and so he's just looking to make a buck. He's trying to find the droid that the Imperials are looking for, and so he shows up at the homestead. Fries Uncle Owen and Aunt Brew, and he feels that part of the evidence that supports his theory is when Darth Vader is addressing the bounty hunters in Empire, and he looks directly at Boba Fett and says, "No disintegrations." So his sense is that because Boba Fett disintegrated Uncle Owen and Aunt Brew, he's warning him, don't do that again in
I like
Empire.
It.
Yeah, I'm down. I actually like just saw Scott shift as soon as Steve said no disintegration. I saw the wheels turn in Scott's head right there, and he was like, you know, that actually makes sense.
What do you think, Scott?
Hey,
I can see that. My theory, though, is there's – you're talking about comics here now. You're adding in – that extra element, but there's a couple theories on that. One, I've had a hard time with the fact that in the special editions they added Boba Fett back into A New Hope, which I totally disagree with. It's just a cameo shot of him hamming it up for the camera. That's all that shot is. But
is that in the Falcon, in the bay with the Falcon?
Correct. Yeah,
and he walks right in front of the camera. Basically, if he wasn't wearing his helmet, he'd be winking to the camera, and he would.
So
true.
The idea and the theory of him being the one that caused that. Yes, I see that. Now, here's a couple ideas to counter that, and I'm only putting this out there just so we have a full spectrum of ideas here. Boba Fett is notorious. Based off of the expanded universe material, which is not canon anymore, I know, but for disintegrations. Also, there is another character in the expanded universe named Jodo Cast, who is an impersonator of Boba Fett, who goes so as far as to actually wear the exact same armor, the same logos, everything, and calls himself Fett while trying to capitalize off of Fett's notoriety, his fame, to make a bigger buck pulling in some of these bounties. And there's a great story out there called Twin Engines of Destruction that talks about that and actually deals with the two of them battling it out. In theory, that could be something that's added into that idea, that maybe it wasn't necessarily Fett. It could have been Fett. I still like to think of the idea that it's just Vader's troops, most likely the 501st, that were the ones that were sent down there for this particular mission. If it's something, also let me throw this out there too. Yeah, my head was shaking with a whole bunch of theories and ideas when this came up. But how quick was a transmission actually sent out? If this was an escape pod that just happened to jettison out of that ship, out of the blockade runner, how fast was Vader out there sending out transmissions? This looks like it was a group, a set of troops that were sent directly from the Star Destroyer down to the planet. So I don't know. It's a good theory. I like it. There's a lot of things you could kind of counter on that. So I like your ideas, Joe, wherever you are.
it is an interesting idea, and I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second just because that's what I love doing. I don't think that Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru were disintegrated. I could be misremembering, but I'm pretty sure we see kind of a burning, smoldering pair of corpses when Luke rushes back to the farm.
Skeletons.
Like they'd just been burned, not disintegrated and vanished from all existence. The other thing I want to throw out is just based on Boba Fett's performance in Return of the Jedi, I mean, I don't buy that he's that effective or that good of a bounty hunter or even that good of a shot, really. If he was any bigger of an ineffective pussy in that movie, you would think he was the one who had been in carbonite since the end of Empire Strikes Back.
Wow.
Did we just call Boba Fett a pussy? Is that what I heard you say, Dave?
Yes,
hey, Faith. Hey, Faith. So Dave says, if you like Boba Fett, you're not a real Star Wars fan.
That escalated quickly.
Well, you've just eliminated 99.9% of Star Wars fans.
That bitch ain't one.
Wow. Well, Joe, all I got to say is you're the man. It was fun talking with you, and hope we can share another beer sometime. That was a lot of fun.
Good theories. Are we on like theory mode right now? Can I share my Joe
theory? No, it is a great theory because you can't empirically prove it or disprove it one way or the other.
That's true.
It could actually happen that way.
Can we empirically disprove or prove anything from the Star Wars universe, Dave?
I heard Boba Fett has a brother named Bubba. Bubba Fett.
Bubba Fett.
Yes, anything that happens on screen did empirically happen in the Star Wars universe. Even the crappy Clone Wars movie, which I think we'll be talking about at some point tonight or next podcast.
I think that segment's getting bumped again to the next one.
Well, yeah. I think we're gonna tease it a little bit here, but we've got a Star Wars battle coming up.
Just the tip.
We're just gonna give you the tip. I think we gotta launch that. If we're gonna do it, we need to shit or get off the pot with that one.
Next Tuesday.
So we will hit that later. Let's get on to Star Wars news, guys. There is so much Star Wars news. Every day there's a new story. I cannot keep up. I'm getting text messages from you guys, from other people. Hey, did you hear this? Did you see this? I mean, it has been a crazy couple of weeks, and we aren't even – we're a year away from the next Star Wars – well, 10 months away from the next Star Wars movie. But before we get there, we need to talk a little bit about The Force Awakens, because this movie hit a benchmark in the last couple of weeks, and that was The Force Awakens passed the $2 billion mark for worldwide gross.
Hooray!
$2.028.1 billion and $916 million domestic, creeping up on $1 billion domestic take. Guys, this has been one crazy, crazy ride for this movie.
Yeah. I don't see it passing the billion domestic. I think Scott pointed out that it only brought in $6 million last weekend. So, you know, diminishing returns being what they are, it's going to be really, really, really hard to get to that $1 billion. But so you know what? They'll re-release it in 10 years, and it'll get there then, damn it. So there you go.
Well, what that means is
they're going to try and re-release it before Episode 8 comes out. I wouldn't put it past them.
Digitally remastered?
Well, yeah, because now they have to do the 8-movie marathon instead of just the 7-movie marathon. But I just did a quick check on the screen count, and Force Awakens is down to 1,810 screens.
It's still on 1,800 screens? Holy crap.
Yeah, at my local theater, there's only 3 showings, one for the standard viewing and 2 for 3D viewings at my local theater per day, and it's usually between 8 and 10 at night.
Slowing down. Well, when we get around to the digital re-release, we can look forward to that exciting scene where Boba Fett's added in.
But guys, what that means is that you all need to do your part and go watch it 10 more times this month to hit that $1 billion mark.
Yeah, everybody. $84 million to go, everybody.
Greg, I'm gonna throw something out there. You brought my name up about the weekend gross from last weekend was $6.1 million. It actually increased 9.6% over the Valentine's weekend to $7.6 million.
Babe, I love you so much. Let's go watch Star Wars.
Well, I gotta tell you, I was home alone on a Friday night with my son and sitting there staring at each other like, you know, what do you want to do? And he says, Dad, let's go see Star Wars. So I saw it for the 7th time.
Whoa.
Wow.
A couple of weeks ago. And so, yep.
And we say whoa as a couple of old guys who don't get out of the house much anymore. I realize there are people who have seen it, you know, dozens of times in the theater.
Yeah.
That means you need to see it at least one more time to see episode 8 times.
That's a good point.
Nice.
Kidding, that's episode 7. You hit 7 times.
Well, just as the theater goers are starting to wane a little bit, we're getting some news about a DVD and Blu-ray release. And it looks like this thing is coming out on Blu-ray in April. In fact, reported by MovieWeb.com in a story called Chewbacca and Captain Phasma Deleted Scenes Revealed in Star Wars The Force Awakens. They are reporting this says, when Star Wars The Force Awakens hits Blu-ray and DVD this spring, we've already been assured by director J.J. Abrams that we're not getting an extended director's cut, but we will get to see some of the deleted scenes. The article goes on to say there's some fun things with Captain Phasma. We're getting a scene from the cantina. There's a scene in the cantina, or our version of it, the Maz Castle, where Rey, once she separates from Finn and wanders off, and Unkar Plutt is there because he's been tracking her because she stole the Falcon from him.
That scene's in the book, too.
Mm-hmm. Is this the one where Chewbacca rips his arms off?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we finally get to see a Wookiee rip some arms off.
Wait, yep. He beat Chewbacca in three-dimensional chess?
That never happens.
You know, I was actually really disappointed in the prequels with the battle on Kashyyyk that you never saw a Wookiee rip clone troopers' arms off.
Yeah, I don't think... Have we ever seen a Wookiee rip somebody's arm off?
No.
Not on film. I think it's in one of the comic books.
Not canon.
Well, who brought that up? Nico? About a Wookiee ripping off the trooper's arms?
Yeah.
Technically, they fought side by side until Order 66, so it wouldn't have happened until that switch. So the only moment we really get is when they turn on Yoda, and then basically Yoda's slicing and dicing.
But then you get Yoda running off with Chewie and Grandpa Chewie. I don't know who Chewie's homeboy's name is. I forgot.
That would be Itchy, by the way.
Yeah, Itchy. Just watched the holiday special, so he knows the whole family tree for Chewbacca by heart now.
Who is Chewie's second cousin twice removed on his mother's side?
Dumpy? I don't know.
Dumpy? But, we see the moment where Yoda cuts off those two troopers' heads, and then he runs up Chewie's arm, and they leave. That would have been a great time for one of the Wookiees to grab one of those troopers, at least, and rip his arms off while Yoda handles the other one. I think that was a huge disappointment, if you think about Wookiees ripping arms off.
I always thought that, you know, the line from Han Solo in Episode 4 that, you know, Wookiees rip people's arms off when they lose. I always thought that was just sort of like, you know, playful, you know, don't mess with him. I didn't take it literally, you know.
I think it would have been great when they were pressuring Phasma for like the codes and whatever to open up the computer if Chewie grabbed her arm. I think that would have just been great. Just grab one of her arms and put his other hand like on her shoulder, like, hey, I'm going to rip your arm off. Just a little playful nod to that quote without even saying anything. Just grab her arm like, hey, tell us what's going on.
It would have been more Phasma, which desperately was needed. Talk about hype for a character that was a major letdown.
Well, Boba we got Fett at least 2. Two more movies.
Oh, guys, Boba Fett 2.0.
I think she's going to redeem herself in Episode 8, which I am hoping is dark, more along the lines of Empire. I think we're going to see our heroes in peril for the majority of that movie, and I certainly hope it ends on a dark note. I think that would be a nice twist.
I hope it's peril like Lancelot had.
I was going to say, do you think they can handle the peril?
All right. In other Force Awakens news, guys, we have a couple of interesting stories here. We had Ben Schwartz talking about how he was involved.
With Spaceballs?
With The Force Awakens. And in particular, how he, and I also read, I'm not sure if it was this story or not, or if it was something else, but he and Bill Hader, who I love from SNL and many other things, contributed to create the voice of BB-8. And I have a little clip here. This is Ben Schwartz talking about the process of bringing BB-8 to life.
Process was at the beginning. We wrote real dialogue for him. So there's recordings of me over scenes. J.J. Abrams would show me scenes. And I would say real dialogue as BB-8 in response to whatever Ray or people were saying. And then the goal was to give that to Lucasfilms. And they would turn them into beeps and boops. And so they tried it, and when it came back, I feel like it felt like you could feel like it was like a human being turned into beeps and boops. So then they gave me a synthesizer, and this great sound guy named Robbie Stambler, and when we were in the room together for hours, I would call us the Beautiful Boys, because we both look terrible. he's a great guy. But Robbie Stambler, amazing sound guy, and we did this thing where I would take this thing that was hooked, a microphone that was hooked into a computer, and I'd literally try to do the beeps and boops. First we tried it with words, didn't work, then I tried to do the beeps and boops. And in the end, we did a bunch of scenes, and I was very fortunate, got to see the movie beforehand and all this stuff and really work with stuff. I don't know how much of those are in it, but I was told by the editors that all the dialogue that I did for the film was used while they edited. So like if Ray is having, Daisy Ridley's character is having a scene with BB-8, they would edit with my dialogue in there to help know when to cut to and back and go to the wide and stuff like that. And I was so excited because I don't know how much percent of my actual voice is in there. Hopefully there is some, but I don't know. But I know that all the editors like were very so kind to me in saying that it really helped with the way they edit and the cadence. And so I think in the end, JJ took an iPad app and literally did the whole thing off an iPad app.
So pretty cool. Pretty good stuff there from Ben Schwartz.
I'd heard about the Hader thing earlier and found that interesting. And now it's I don't know if you saw this, but you know there was obviously the Daniel Craig cameo, which came out pretty quickly. But there's a whole slew of voice actors that they've announced and not just what other actors or other personalities. I guess you look. Kevin Smith has a line in the movie. Writer director of Clerks fame, Kevin Smith, mm-hmm. actual has a spoken line in the movie that comes from a stormtrooper, and then lots and lots of people from the Rebels card. Well, Rebels / Clone Wars because they've worked on both of them.
Well, and Scott, you raised with me when we saw the movie together the clear ode to Kevin Smith with the. Was it Finn's job on the Starkiller base?
Absolutely, sanitation. Love that line. I still think that's a complete nod to Kevin Smith in some subtle little way. If you've seen Clerks, you know exactly what they're talking about. There's a beautiful line in Clerks where they talk about, what do you think any average stormtrooper can install a water main? It's brilliant. But yes, Kevin Smith does have that line where it's the stormtrooper who reports the incoming X-Wings or resistance fighters. That is his line that he states they're at 2.78 incoming. But yes, I thought that was a wonderful little tribute. Even if it wasn't verified, I still he's been on record to actually say, and I saw him live perform his podcast talking about that particular moment. It was beautiful when he said, if this was a tribute to me, it's more than appreciated, because I'm sure he was the one who mentioned when he got to visit the set and walk onto the Millennium Falcon, the real Millennium Falcon, he broke down and cried like a little baby. And I thought that was one of the funniest but most endearing things, because who wouldn't want to sit on the real Millennium Falcon and cry like a baby? Seriously.
People who like the prequels.
Hey, guys. Let's not tell Scott the Millennium Falcon's not real, okay? Let's
what?
Not tell
him. All right. No.
That's it. I quit. I'm out of here.
12 parsecs.
Well, the other bit of news, another interesting story that came up this week was the Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon sync up. Have you heard this story?
Yes.
I saw that.
Yes. So this was so cool.
It does require you listen to Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon for three consecutive playthroughs, though.
Right. So apparently now I've lost the link, unfortunately, but
that's a lot of Floyd.
It is a lot of Floyd, but it might be worth it, because this has been done with The Wizard of Oz and other movies where fans will sync up, will play the movie along with the album. And there are some just really cool coincidences in the sounds of the song syncing up with the voices of the characters in the movie. So the one that I remember reading about was there's a scene where Poe is getting interrogated, and right when he opens his mouth as if he's screaming, there's one of the screams in one of the Pink Floyd songs on Dark Side of the Moon that you know happens at the same time. It just happens to sync up perfectly. So I don't know. We need to try this.
Consequenceofsound.net. You can find it on the consequenceofsound.net website.
Nice.
I love stoners. I just absolutely, you know, considering this guy must have sat there and just sped it up and backed it up a little bit and started it at different points to get it to sync just right, and he did it. And how many times until he got it just right? And then he's like, oh, I got it. I love that. I just love it.
Well, those are all great stories and very, very positive news coming from The Force Awakens and from Star Wars in general. But, you know, not everything is positive about The Force Awakens. In fact, there's a lawsuit, guys, that Star Wars producers have been charged over Harrison Ford's injury that occurred during the filming. This is reported here on Yahoo News. The Associated Press reporting that British health authorities announced Thursday, this is a couple Thursdays ago, story dated February 11th, they announced that they have issued criminal charges against the producers of Star Wars The Force Awakens over an on-set incident in which Harrison Ford broke his leg. Of course, the actor was struck by a hydraulic door on the set of the Millennium Falcon. Sorry, Scott. I mean, on the real Millennium Falcon. at Pinewood Studios near London in June 2014. He was airlifted to a hospital where he underwent surgery. So what do you think, guys?
Well, I find it odd that they don't mention that in that particular incident, J.J. Abrams also broke his back. They only mention Harrison Ford's ankle, and I find a broken back a little bit more serious. So I didn't know why that was not mentioned, but I can see the reason for that lawsuit. That's negligence on the part of whoever was constructing it or operating that at the time. So I see why that lawsuit's there.
I'm going to talk completely out of my ass on it and not knowing any of the facts of this case or anything like that. But I think that the agency that's bringing the suit is, you know, kind of a worker adversary, or not adversary, worker advocacy group, excuse me. You know, they work on behalf of worker rights and everything like that. And this is just a situation that sounds like to me anyway, that you know, they really, they have to go after this company because they're trying to protect, you know, the rights of workers that might occur, the accidents that might occur in future accidents, you know, so mm-hmm. that's kind of, they have to do it that way. It doesn't set a precedent for them not doing anything. So, you know, whether there is actual negligence or not, you know, they'll decide that in a court of law, and that'll be fine and dandy. But it's just, I think it's something this organization just has to do just to make sure that they're protecting the workers in Britain. So good on them.
Well,
but what nobody mentioned is that Harrison Ford almost died when he crashed an X-Wing into a golf course.
Well, I have not been contacted by lawyers yet, but it's probably because, you know, nobody's aware, and I, you know, this is a this is something I need to share with you guys that I don't know if you know this, but our microphones were there the day that Harrison Ford was injured on the set.
Excellent. Wow.
Yeah. Yep. We just happened to be rolling. Amazing. And so I'm just gonna play this for you. You have to listen to it carefully.
Part of the Wretched Hive prequels.
Barely audible.
Like, you're not a fan.
That's right. The Wretched Hive microphones were there to pick up Harrison Ford on the set the day he got injured recording The Force Awakens. So listen up.
Ow!
You have it. That was a, that's a, you know, nobody else has that.
Ow!
But us. Force Awakens.
I remain amazed
on the set
at the foresight we had.
That's right.
To, you know,
a year and a half ago when we weren't even just talking about the podcast. We better record
it. Now you could. I know you can barely hear it, so listen carefully. Just quiet. Shh. Listen.
Ow!
Right there. That's where
he
broke his leg.
Right there. That's. I think he broke his leg. Right. Yep.
Real talk. Real folk.
Real folk.
Oh my god. All right. So that was that.
Was Kylo Ren named in the lawsuit by any chance?
Was he there on set that day?
Do you think he'll sue for the lightsaber through the gut that happened at the end of the movie? I don't know.
Was there a guy named Matt perhaps there that day?
Matt Damon.
All right. We've got a new segment on the show, guys, and I don't have any produced fillers here, but the new segment is called Rogue One Reconnaissance. Oh, we are getting closer to Rogue One. We're less than a year away, guys. We're 10 months away.
And no flipping footage. No,
who was it that said we've seen more footage teasers of Episode 8 now than we've seen of Rogue One? Who was it
that
said
that? That's true. That's true. This is actually true.
In
a
fact,
movie 2 years away is less likely to be seen than a movie from a year away.
In fact, as of today, when this show will air on February 19th, we are 301 days away from the release of this movie, and we have not seen a trailer. What is the deal? What's going on here? And you know, we're flipping about it and we joke around, but what do you think is going on here, guys? They're done filming it. They've got plenty of film in the can. They're done with principal photography. How do we not have a trailer for this movie?
Well, they don't need to build the hype for it. The hype's already there. With the success of Force Awakens, you know, their Star Wars interest has never been higher right now. So they'll wait. And they'll attach it to properties where they control it. You know, the last Star Wars trailer debuted during Monday Night Football. So that's because Disney owns Star Wars, owns Marvel, owns ABC, owns ESPN, you know. So there you go. You get it on Monday Night Football. So the next one will probably be in front of Captain America. That's the next major Disney Marvel owned property that's going to come out. So it'll probably be on there. And that's where you see your first teaser. And then we've had, you know, we've all been going back and forth amongst ourselves about when the next trailer, whether you want to call it a teaser trailer or the first trailer. So the first footage I think we'll see in front of Captain America. The next footage we'll see at Celebration, and that's a little bit later than normal, but they need something big for that event. That was where the big Star Wars, the first time you saw any of the original cast, you saw it at Celebration. That was a, and that was a gift for Celebration. You know, that was something special to happen there. So they need something equally as special to happen at Celebration in London. So that's when you'll see the next major footage releases coming out of Celebration. That's my guess.
See, I'm going to go ahead as the millennial. And you started that statement saying that Star Wars hype right now has not been bigger in so many years. But I will say I am hearing more buzz from my friends in my age group and from the people that I see, because I work retail day to day, talking about that 10 seconds of episode 8 that we have now. Nobody has even mentioned once Rogue One. I don't think half of the people that I call Star Wars fans in my friends group even know that Rogue One exists as a concept for a movie right now. I don't think people even realize that there's going to be a Rogue One. They know that there's going to be a couple other Star Wars movies, but I don't think people realize that there's a whole new movie coming out at the end of this year to look forward to. I don't think that there is much hype beyond the Star Wars nerddom for like the average moviegoer, Joe Schmo, who's not in depth looking for this news. I don't think people even realize that it's a real thing.
I agree, Nico. You know, you look at the way Disney markets any of their property, and they are the marketing machine. And there's nothing. And it seems weird to me that we're most likely, like Greg said, going to get a trailer around the time of Captain America 3. I find that unbelievable that they're taking that long to even put something out. They had a good opportunity with the Super Bowl. They've had some other stuff that might be coming out here in the next month or so. But man, to wait that long, and whether it's Celebration or, say, Comic-Con during the summer, to put out new footage. We didn't get a new trailer for Episode 7 during Comic-Con. They gave us a little behind-the-scenes promo, which was...
But that was, it was like a four-minute piece, and that thing was awesome.
It was brilliantly done, but it was... That's Comic-Con. That's July, late July, early August. So, you know, if our first trailer or teaser, you're talking 20-second, 30-second teaser, comes out in May, and we don't get anything until, say, Comic-Con in July, man, they're really pushing it to the last possible minute with this movie, when what Nico said, I feel, is true. There isn't, there may be people out there that know that there's other movies or ideas for movies coming out, but nobody knows the specifics unless you are a hardcore fan. There's nothing telling the general public, hey, there's another Star Wars movie, and it's going to be basically this whole thing about X-Wing fighters or fighter pilots and going in and stealing the plans to the Death Star. There's no concept of that out there.
More people know about the Harry Potter spinoff movie that's coming out now than Rogue One.
Yeah.
Guys, yeah. Will casual Star Wars fans mistake Rogue One for Episode 8? Will they go into the theater in December going, okay, here's the next in the series?
That's so you mean the people that like the prequels?
I think it depends on what the final marketing strategy is that they've settled on, and we haven't seen it yet. I mean, Scott, I hear what you're saying, that they missed a golden opportunity, and I agree with it, if for no other reason I wanted to see some of the damn footage. But looking at what they did promote during the Super Bowl, which was Jungle Book and Civil War, it did kind of cross my mind that is Disney, with all the stuff that they have now, all of the mainline Disney stuff, all of the Marvel Studios stuff, the Pixar stuff, and now the Lucasfilm stuff, are they worried about overshadowing each other's products? And if that's the case, then maybe they really are going to wait until Civil War to start pumping up the public for Rogue One, because they'll get through two big releases that they have in the first half of the year, Jungle Book and Civil War, before they start, you know, pushing people towards marketing for the Star Wars movie.
But see, they've already put out trailers and footage for Civil War. we already have trailers for the Jungle Book movie, but we don't have even that BB-8 rolling through the sands and a stormtrooper taking off his hood in the desert with Luke narrating gobbledygook that didn't even show up in the movie. We don't even get a teaser for Rogue One. There's not even like an X-wing crashing into the side of some Star Destroyer and then that's it. And like a long, long time ago, like we don't have anything. Yeah. Like not even hey, there's gonna be some sort of Star Wars stuff this year. You should look out for it. There's not even a pretend anything that Disney even cares that the public knows about this movie.
I hear what you're saying, Dave. Oh, go ahead.
No, sorry, I was gonna say. And the other thing is that it may be that they're not sure what they have yet. Well, and they're not sure what to do with it.
I find odd about Disney. I hear what you're saying, but I don't think Disney's ever been afraid of overshadowing any of their potential product. I mean, they market everything. They have Disney stores everywhere to market every toy, every princess, every you name it. I don't think they're afraid of that. What I find weird is they have something clearly this product that has just made them and is still making them over $2 billion just in ticket sales. That, to me, is a clear green light for them to say, put something out there, put out the logo and have an X-Wing fly over, and there's your 15-second teaser shot just to prep you. And like Nico was saying, we by this point, before Episode 7, we already had a teaser with a new stormtrooper that caused all sorts of controversy with people. We had this new droid that people freaked out and thought it was going to be terrible, and everyone ended up loving that thing. We have none of that right now. And I find it really odd that Disney's marketing machine is not powerhousing through this, going, hey, here's an X-Wing, here's a bunch of cool-looking shots of some pilots running around, you know, on some secret base. Bam, you've got yourself golden footage right there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why it's not out there.
On a positive note, can I just say that I'm really looking forward to how they're going to reintroduce the ultra retro look of this film as it takes place during the original trilogy timeline. Like, how are they going to make this look like it happens in the middle of the original trilogy, but it's coming out in 2016. Like, I'm really excited to see how they're going to play into the retro characters, how they're going to do the outfits, what sort of blasters they're going to have. Seeing stormtroopers again on the big screen looking like original trilogy stormtroopers. It's going to be really cool the way that this is going to be a very retro film in a very modern era.
Yeah, totally. I feel the same way. I wouldn't call it a gripe. It's just you kind of look at it sideways. You know, you have your Star Wars, your original trilogy, and then you have your prequel trilogy, which takes place, you know, 30 years before, or however many years before, it doesn't matter, 20 years before. But it looks so much better than the movie that's supposed to take place, you know, in that world's future time. You know, it'll be interesting to see what the look of this movie actually turns out to be.
Well, I hope Gareth Edwards, who's directing it, just takes all the negatives and just drags them through the sand to give it that rough edge look.
It'd be really cool if he went full Quentin Tarantino and filmed it in 70mm.
That'd be nice.
Well, guys, there has been talk from both Rian Johnson and Gareth Edwards that they are filming on celluloid, on film, not digital. They've been very vocal about that. In fact, I have a story from Colin Trevorrow, who is working on Episode 9 in pre-production.
Nine!
And he says, listen to this quote. He says, "The violinist is going to choose the best possible violin. Of course they will. I choose to shoot with the best possible violin, he said, elaborating on his mentality for shooting on film and wanting to continue to do so with his Star Wars entry. Star Wars Force Awakens was, of course, shot on film, and Rian Johnson plans to shoot Episode 8 on film as well. Trevorrow is also hoping to keep his sequel grounded, not just in how he shoots the movie, but in what he's capturing on film. Quote, I asked the question, is it possible for us to shoot IMAX film plates in actual space for Star Wars? And I haven't gotten an answer yet, but they've shot IMAX in space, Trevorrow said on the panel. This is a panel at an event called Power of Story, The Art of Film that took place at Sundance Film Festival. So, guys, he is actually looking at shooting in outer space.
Somebody's going all James Cameron on us.
In space!
Pigs in space?
If necessary.
All right, I've got one other Rogue One reconnaissance story, and that is that Rogue One actor, actress, and I'm going to completely butcher her name here, Eunice Olumide. Is that close? Eunice sure. Olumide.
I'll go with it.
She talked about filming Rogue One. She says, there's a small scene where I run and there's a tank that comes after me with 20 stormtroopers. There's loads of explosions. I kept getting a fright whenever the explosions went off. So that's more than we've heard from anybody about this movie. Other than a very short snippet that was played for about 4,000 fans in April at Star Wars Celebration that I did not get to see. Although I was there, did not get to see that particular panel. But this is the most we've heard about this movie, and it really wouldn't be a news story other than there's nothing else to report on Rogue One.
We should put it in the trailer.
There's tanks. I've never seen a stormtrooper tank.
There's explosions.
No, really, there were no tanks in the original trilogy for stormtroopers to be on or around. There was no land-based vehicles other than the walkers.
If I remember correctly, Kenner had a toy that was not featured in the films for the original release in 1978 called the Imperial Trooper Transport.
And I have one.
Yes.
Nice.
And the troops would sit in these little compartments on the outside of the vehicle. It looked kind of like a tank. But not really.
One thing I totally geeked out is it's in the first couple episodes of the Rebels cartoon. They actually have the Empire utilizing one of those troop transport vehicles in the Rebels cartoon. And I was like, oh, they got that was the toy from the 70s.
Oh,
awesome.
My God. Yeah.
Well, that is what's really cool now about this new crop of Star Wars filmmakers, and you know, the baton has been handed off to Dave Filoni, who's making Rebels, and you know, these directors that are directing 8 and 9 and the standalone films, they're all fans. You know, you can really get the sense that they get what fans want to see, and the little odes to the toys like that, I just love that stuff. It's so cool.
Yeah, totally.
Really good stuff. So, guys, I think it was alluded to earlier, Episode 8 has begun filming. They are filming currently as we record this podcast. It's pretty exciting.
And in the grand tradition of releasing the movie 6 seconds at a time, they have released the first 6 seconds of Episode 8.
Well,
remarkably like the last 6 seconds of Episode 7.
Well, you bring up a great point, Dave, because I think this will be the first episodic Star Wars movie to pick up exactly where the last one left off.
If that's what they go with on opening, yeah, the crawl almost becomes pointless at that stage, because up till now, the crawl has been kind of filling us in on what's happened since we last saw our heroes. Well, I'm kind of hoping that what they showed us is going to be a flashback so that we can actually get that crawl and get filled in on something that's happened and get dropped into the middle of the action.
Yeah, where else can we pick up with Episode 8 other than on that island with Luke and Rey? Like, what else is going on in the galaxy? Starkiller Base has been destroyed. Han's dead.
Kylo Ren arriving to see Snoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to complete his training.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential there based off of where it was left off. And all the people that either loved it or complained about the fact that Episode 7 was such an homage to the original Star Wars, there's a lot of potential to pick up Episode 8 wherever they wanted to. And if they follow tradition, you're going to see some sort of a starfield, some sort of a ship. I think Empire's the one where all the probe droids are being launched all around the galaxy. Is that correct?
You see us, sir. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's.
I'm just hoping they don't open it up with Sam getting eaten by a horde of zombies.
Still wrong, nerddom.
And what's wrong with that?
Speaking of which, did you guys catch last week's Walking Dead premiere episode?
But I did watch almost the entire marathon leading up to it.
Oh my god, that was that. I think that's the best Walking Dead episode I've ever seen. That thing was amazing.
And that's saying a lot.
Yeah, no kidding.
We'll have to save this for our Walking Dead after show. That would be talking Dead after Star Wars is our after show for after Wretched Hive.
The Wretched Dead.
The Wretched Dead. I could not disagree more with you guys.
On what?
On the Walking Dead episode. I thought it was horrible. Like, legit bad.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, so. My God.
It took an hour, but Mean Greg is out, finally.
Ladies and gentlemen, may we introduce to you Mean Greg.
Well, last show he turned over a new leaf, remember? Now he's back. Just that pendulum swings back and forth.
We will talk about that later on. All right. Sum up lazy writing, stupid character development. That's the sum up there.
All right, talking about stupid character development. Thank you for that bridge, by the way. Did you see Anthony Daniels popping off on Twitter?
You know, I would think that C-3PO is your least favorite character out of the entire trilogy. You really you hate that guy like he's Glenn Fry.
Actually, that's one of my favorite moments of last week's show is when I said I actually uttered the words "I hate C-3PO." I never thought I would say that, but I did say that. Well, Anthony Daniels, of course, actor that portrays C-3PO in virtually every Star Wars affiliated production. Took to the Twitter and he tweeted out on January 29th, "Just read Episode 8 and thought I'd share this story with you because I know you can't wait to hear it too. You want to hear it, don't you?" And his director, Rian Johnson, replied to his tweet just perfectly. He didn't write anything. All he put was he posted a picture of Han Solo covering 3PO's mouth. Which I thought was just perfect.
That's awesome. Well played, sir.
They really need to rethink C-3PO in this series, you guys. I really cannot stand what they've done with you know, that character.
You know who's to blame with C-3PO? You know who's to blame for C-3PO in The Force Awakens? Chewie. Chewie could have let him die. That would have been it. He would have been God. He would have gone the way of Jar Jar. He would have been blown up and moved on, and nobody would have thought twice to look back at him.
I don't know. C-3PO in the prequels is really bad. Like, really bad. And he doesn't change much in Episode 7, so... I'm going to have this Faith person totally hate me.
Sorry. I mean, Faith. Yeah, in the prequels.
Okay, Greg. I think you said it, and I agree with you that the C-3PO bit in Attack of the Clones is arguably the most annoying sequence in any of the movies, by far.
The droid factory?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm besides myself. This is such a drag.
I was going to let you guys be the negative Nellies on this one, but yeah, no, I got to agree. I think that's more annoying than anything that Jar Jar did in episode one. Yeah, I think I agree.
I'm sad that Jar Jar is still not a Sith Lord.
Oh, actually, talking about Joe, going back to Joe from Timeless Pints, that was another one of his theories, that Jar Jar is a Sith Lord. That was rejected. Did we talk about this already, or no?
This is a common theory out there.
Okay, I hadn't heard it yet. So you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but Joe's suggestion was that Jar Jar is a Sith Lord that had been rejected, and sort of replaced by Darth Maul, by the time of the Phantom Menace, the Phantom Menace, and that he, you know, all of his goofery in episode 1 and 2 was purposeful. And after all, it was Jar Jar Binks that led them to the Clone Wars.
I love that theory. It's utterly ridiculous, but I love the theory.
I love the theory too. And there's two things that kind of support it that are not in the movies. One is the actor who portrayed Jar Jar has said on the record that there was a different story arc intended for the character, and it got modified after the Phantom Menace came out. And I don't think he's ever really said anything more than that, but it leads people to think that Lucas modified it because there was such a backlash to it. And the other thing is that Lucas, as he did with Yoda, said he loves the old movie conceit where you meet this strange creature that seems little and helpless and then turns out to be all-powerful instead of just the goofy sidekick that you thought he was. And if you take that at face value, maybe he was setting up Jar Jar to be something more than what he came across as in Phantom Menace, and then chickened out.
Jar Jar literally disappears in the movie series. You have no idea what sort of closure the story has with Jar Jar. He's just gone.
Oh, I think we know the closure of that. It was backlash to the millionth degree. That was Lucas just overreacting, and I can't even go off on this. I'm sorry.
But I mean, in canon storyline, where does Jar Jar exit the timeline? Where does he leave, and where does he go, and what happens to him? He's just gone. He's there. He offers up Palpatine to become the Supreme Chancellor and the Emperor, and then he's just gone.
He's standing on the balcony at the end of Attack of the Clones, and then he's in Revenge of the Sith for like 2 minutes or less. But it's 2 minutes too long.
But you know what I mean? We don't know if he stays there as a senator. We don't know if he goes back to Naboo. We don't know if Anakin, in his fury killing younglings and Jedis, goes and hunts him down and kills him. We don't know what happens to Jar Jar in the end. Where does he go between episode 3 and 4?
Well, when Gungan's in danger, they go to the sacred place, I believe.
Well, JJ joked about putting his skeleton there on Jakku to appease the Star Wars fans.
I would love that.
I still think he's a Sith. I think Jar Jar is Snoke.
Joe, if you're listening, I'm actually with you on this theory. I really like this theory. I think there's something to it.
Jar Jar's going to come back and be Snoke's master. Snoke is the apprentice.
Joe would make a good guest on this show, actually. He was a fun guy. All right, so moving on, guys. A couple of other stories I've got here. So, for fans of Lego, of which there are a lot, there's a Lego series coming to Disney XD, Lego Star Wars. The Freemaker Adventures, about a family of scavengers who eke out a living amid the galaxy's colossal battles. That is coming soon to Disney XD.
Wait, did you released already? Or no, this did not get released yet.
This story is on entertainmentweekly.com and it's dated February 11th.
Did you use the word eeks?
Eat.
Let's see. What did I say?
Like
eek, eek. Family of scavengers who eke out a living amid the galaxy's colossal battles.
I may have some breaking news here. Bear with me. Talk amongst yourselves for just a moment.
Again?
Well, this story goes on to say, as Greg does some research, LEGO stories are always built a bit on the playful side, so don't expect the more serious drama associated with Disney XD's other Star Wars shows, Rebels, which chronicles the rise of the Rebellion long before the events depicted in 1977's original Star Wars. Let's see, we've got some Star Wars Rebels producers associated with the show. It says
breaking news:
a specific debut date for the summer has not been announced. Unless, Greg, you have something else to share on this one.
I'm taking this from the website IO9. This was posted yesterday. The first episode of the recently announced LEGO Star Wars The Resistance Rises short series is here, and it's all about Poe Dameron being dashing, strangely deep-voiced, and a bit of a goofball while he goes on a rescue mission to save Admiral Akbar from the First Order. You can watch it on YouTube.
It's a trap.
So this story refers to it as The Freemaker Adventures, but you said, what did you call it just now?
The Resistance Rises. It's a basic. It's like a 7-minute short that's on YouTube that you can watch.
Got it.
Yeah. Breaking news.
Are you guys LEGO Star Wars fans? We haven't really talked about this.
We talked about it a little bit. They are so cute.
Yeah.
I really liked the Star Wars Force Awakens LEGO's trailer. I think we talked about that in the last episode.
The trailer is basically
the Star Wars Force Awakens teaser that we first got redone fully in LEGO with every perfect amount of cute and witty LEGO comedy added into every scene.
Yep, that's right. We did talk about that last week. I apologize. Yep, good stuff. Those Star Wars LEGO, man, they know what they're doing. They are so smart about parroting the Star Wars stuff. I love it. Love it, love it.
Yeah, and the games, you know, satisfy young gamers, you know, who just want to sit there and build and destroy Legos, and older gamers who want to go and collect achievements. They're just, you know, they're addicting games that are good for young and old. Go out and buy them all.
So, guys, last story here I have before we get to our bad Star Wars battle introduction, and that is,
dun, dun, dun.
Did you see that there's a new Star Wars album that was released? It is an electronica album.
I don't think it's been released yet.
Star Wars Headspace.
Yeah, not released officially yet.
Well, I do have some clips, though. I went ahead and didn't get approval on this, guys, but I dipped into the Wretched Hive coffer, and I ponied up the money for the pre-order on this.
Our slush funds? Our payola money?
Our slush funds, yep.
The money we get paid to not mention some fine products and establishments out there.
Exactly. Which, actually, now that you mention it, this is a good time to talk about our sponsor for this week's show. We do not have a sponsor for this week's show. We still are sponsorless.
I think we're going to officially say that Steve Baldwin is our sponsor for the show, as he's the only one who's actually put up money for this production.
Yeah, the bill's in the mail, guys. You'll be getting it soon.
That's got to change.
All right.
We got to write that.
No worries at all. But because I did pre-order the album, I do have some tracks. I've got 6 tracks to preview really quick. So won't take long on this. But so the first track is from GTA. And it's called Help Me. So let me run this here.
Hey,
Scott is that puppy baby monkey in the background?
Oh, you know it.
Puppy monkey baby.
Puppy monkey baby.
All right, puppy monkey baby. Another track I've got, let's see, this one is called Bounty Hunters. Let's try this one here. Oh, oh, sorry. That was more helpful. Here we go.
No, I have a feeling that the album is going to be a lot of that same thing, though.
It's all the same track. It's 13 tracks, all the same track. Let's see. This is called, this is Bounty Hunters by, ooh, I can't pronounce that. Royksop. Very European sounding band there. All right, this one is called R2, Where Are You? Here we go. Let's try this one. This is R2, Where Are You by Flying Lotus.
I think totally you can act
Bounty Hunters, though. They had that full-on Greedo sample right at the end of that clip you played there.
I think here in this R2, Where Are You? Where Are You, R2? I think this is a classic stoner moment. I've misplaced my droid, and you can even hear the bubbling of the bong sampled in the track.
All right, let's listen. Listen closely.
That's beautiful. Right.
Now, there's a big name attached to this, though. Rick Rubin.
Yeah, super, super excited about that, actually.
Who is producer extraordinaire. Of course, has worked with many, many famous artists, including the Beastie Boys and U2 and many others.
Johnny Cash,
The
Slayer,
Wretched Hive.
The Wretched Hive, The Wretched Five.
In fact, I have a track here called NRG 7. I guess you could pronounce it Energy 7. This is credited to Rick Rubin. Let's try this one here. Let's see. So I'm sure you'll all be running out to pre-order this.
Did
Star
anybody
Wars
ever anybody watch any of the Strong Bad videos?
Yes.
From the old Homestar Runner website.
Bleep, bleep, bleep,
exactly. Bleep. The system is down. The system is down.
Got one more track here, Cantina Boys from Bauer. Let's try this. Oh, I like this one. Rebel troops have entered the base. Rebel troops have entered.
Make that ass clap.
I just imagine Dave driving to work, you know, bumping. So again, Star Wars Headspace, available for pre-order on iTunes. Get it today.
What else is available on iTunes, guys?
The prequels?
The Wretched Hive podcast is available on iTunes for download.
With the Wretched Five?
With the Wretched Five, even.
Kaboom.
I am so proud of that.
No, I was so proud. I told my fiance, I was like, hey, babe, guess what? And she's like, what's going on? I was like, so our podcast was accepted to iTunes. And she was like, oh my goodness, that is so cool. And I was like, no, it really is. Like, to be on iTunes on such a well-esteemed, established community of podcasters, for us to be on that sort of level is really, really cool.
Of all the podcasts that are out there, we are another one.
We are another one. Well, remember, folks, you are unique, just like everybody else.
And to quote Dave, wow, they let anybody in here, huh?
So, Headspace, must buy. It will go fit perfectly on my collection right next to Miko's Galactic Funk and Other Hits. and it will sit. It will occupy a proud spot in my vinyl collection.
Next to Tron's, the Tron Legacy album from Daft Punk.
That's actually a really good album, though.
It's a really good album.
It's actually really good. Yeah.
Guys, one last story here before we move on. Last one. A little bit of a sad note. We've got a Star Wars celebrity that passed away in the last couple weeks. Actress Aletha McGrath, who portrayed Jocasta Nu.
Wait, is this bit of news archived in the Jedi library? Because if it's not, it simply does not exist.
Wow.
The nice. Jedi librarian has checked out her final book.
As reported by RebelScum.com, Aletha McGrath, looks like she was 96. And
she didn't look 96, though, when you see
like
that film.
96? Or she was actually 96.
Sorry, she was actually 96.
She looked a smooth 92.
Now, come on. Let's be nice to the deceased. Come on.
Too soon?
Send those cards and letters to Wretched Hive. Yeah.
Attention, Millennial Falcon.
You know, we have not received any emails yet, and I have a feeling after that comment we might, actually.
I'm sorry.
That's okay, that's okay. If you want to email us and tell us what a rotten guy Nico Rodriguez is, you can email us, wretchedhive@yahoo.com. But I do have a clip. I do have a quick clip. This is from the bonus material. And I think this is from... This is a deleted scene from Attack of the Clones. Obi-Wan and Jocasta Nu discuss Count Dooku. Check it out.
Did you call for assistance?
Yes, I did.
He has a very powerful face, doesn't he? He was one of the most brilliant Jedi I've had the privilege of knowing.
I never understood why he quit.
Well, one might say he was always a bit out of step with the decisions of the Council. Much like your old master, Qui-Gon Jinn.
Really?
Oh, yes, they were very individual thinkers. Idealists. In the end, I think he left because he lost faith in the Republic. He disappeared for 9 of 10 years and turned up recently as head of the separatist movement.
It's very interesting. I'm not sure I completely understand.
Well, you didn't call me over here for a history lesson. Are you having a problem, Master Kenobi?
Aletha McGrath passed away at 96.
Sassy there at the end, wasn't she?
She was sassy.
Almost sounded like she and Dooku had a personal relationship.
You know, one thing I don't think I've given enough credit to is Ewan McGregor is really does a good job of just channeling Alec Guinness in all of the prequel movies. You know, it's such an homage to his performance, you know, and I really appreciate that he attempts to make that character, you know, the one who's going to grow up to be the Alec Guinness that we see in the original trilogy movies.
Yeah, he
did a fantastic job.
Yeah, he does a great job bridging that character. It's wonderfully done, wonderfully acted.
Yep, and he made it into The Force Awakens, as has been widely reported.
Yes, he did. Another voice talent.
Yep. All right, guys, so let's introduce this idea of that, and Greg, I'm going to hand it off to you in just a second. I think this was your suggestion, but I'll get us started by saying, you know, we love Star Wars. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, we're, you know, doing a Star Wars podcast, talking about Star Wars for hours at a time, just because we love it, you know. But that doesn't mean that Star Wars is above criticism. And certainly as fans, you know, I kind of think that we're best positioned to criticize because of our fandom and because we do love it. And there's a lot of great Star Wars, but, I mean, let's face it, there's some really bad Star Wars too. And so, Greg, you had this idea of of we really need to get to the bottom of what is the worst Star Wars out there. And there's only one way to do it, and that is by having a bad Star Wars battle. So Greg, why don't you take it from there and share what are we going to do here?
Well, the genesis of the idea came from the sports radio talk show hosts. If you listen to him, Petros Papadakis, he's a former USC football player, and Matt Money Smith. They're on a local radio station out here, and I think that they're actually syndicated nationwide. But one segment that they do sports mostly, but they also do a lot of pop culture stuff as well. And one thing they do every week that I get a real kick out of is they take two bad movies from a similar genre and compare it and contrast them so they can determine which is the worst movie. So I thought it would be a cool idea if we take all of the bad Star Wars movies that we can come up with, and we came up with quite a few actually, and compare them all together, you know, and instead of all of us talking about each one individually, one guy focuses on his movie and just really talk about why it sucks so hard. And, you know, and that way we can actually determine what the worst of the worst actually is there. And the benefit for you, the listener, is you don't have to sit through this crap. You can hear all of it. You can hear the crap directly from our mouths. We've chewed on it. We've digested it. We've shat it back out. So you don't have to.
Wow,
we're going to give you...
This is a public service we're providing here.
Exactly. It's a public service, you know, saving the public from pain and torture and just overall bad things.
Or if you just are a glutton for punishment, you can go straight to the worst. Once we determine which is the worst, you can go straight there and check it out for yourself if you don't believe us.
Exactly. Hey, but on a positive note, once you watch that, Star Wars only gets better from there.
That's a good point.
With the exception of the prequels.
And, you know, I do want to add before we do this is that, you know, we're such huge Star Wars fans that, you know, to me, it kind of makes it okay. You know, there are some podcasts out there that they really just treat Star Wars with kid gloves, you know, and they're just sort of afraid to be critical. I don't think we should fear that. I think we should. Star Wars is great and it's awful, and it's mostly great, thank goodness. But boy, there are some blips on the radar there over the history that just are just awful. And I think we owe it to Star Wars to just to call it out and be real.
Yeah, we do this at, you know, I break this down, I tear it up a bit, but I do it because I love it so. It's, you know, it you know, I'm here because I love Star Wars, and I love even the bad things about them. I love. I will always go back to Return of the Jedi, piece of crap that it is, and I will hug those Ewoks and just, you know, and wrap them up and throttle them and get them just to the brink of death and then release them back into the wild.
You hugging an Ewok is something that I would pay to see, actually. All right, so what I have here,
is
guys...
Is that a euphemism for something?
Talking to Moonfish, hugging an Ewok, you know, hey.
Got to go hug the Ewok. All right, so that took a turn. So we, being the Star Wars aficionados that we are, we have taken the liberty of selecting the top... Well, we had top five here. I'm gonna take it down. I'm gonna say, because there's five of us on this podcast. Well, guys, we kind of have to think about how we're ordering this, because originally we had a friend of ours,
Order 66,
Sammy, coming in to fill in to review one of these for us, and I don't know what the status is there, but so, and we had Scott as the judge. So do we want to still go with Scott as the judge, and we'd go with the four of us here?
I think that would make sense.
Does that make sense?
A four-man bracket.
Yeah.
The finals, the semifinals,
yeah,
and finals.
That actually works, because that way there's nobody with the bye there, and
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that way it's two on two, and then you have we start with the final four, and then we go to the finals after that.
All right.
And
okay, so we will have two brackets of two. And then the winners of each of those brackets will play each other in the finals.
Not to be confused with play with each other in the finals.
Against each other, I suppose, right? All right, so
this is going to be the official seeding is what's going to be. So yes. should we call out the movies and then vote on a seeding for them?
Well, what I've got, we should do? Yeah, we could do that, or I also have I've written the names of each of the four that we've selected, which we haven't announced yet, but I've written them on these four scraps of paper, and I can pull these at random to do the seedings that way, because I think, you know, no matter which ones get pulled, we're going to have some bad Star Wars going up against bad Star Wars.
I think the middle two that you have right now in your hands, hold those back up again.
Okay. Yep.
The middle two go head to head.
Middle two?
And then the outside two go head to head.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to read these two. Are we all in agreement? Is this where we want to go?
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Sounds good.
All right. So
yep.
The first one, we've got Star Wars droids. Oh. That would be Nico.
Put
me in, Coach. I'm ready.
That is Star Wars.
It's not just Star Wars droids. This is Star Wars droids, the great heap of Sarlacc pit.
Star Wars droids, as defended by Nico, will take on the Clone Wars movie, as defended by Dave. Nico versus Dave in round one.
Are we having to defend why they don't suck, or are we having to argue why they suck
the most? We're trying to prove why they suck the most.
You're arguing why it sucks the most.
Okay, and I'm not sure which is actually the preferable thing to be doing, to be honest.
I think we're trying to go for the low blow of Star Wars. We're trying to prove that this movie is the worst Star Wars cinematic experience available.
Correct.
That's right.
However hard it may be to get the Star Wars Holiday Special, it's still available.
You've got to provide evidence that your Star Wars property is the worst of all.
Do you enjoy? Okay, your dog in this fight is not the Holiday Special. But do you enjoy watching the Holiday Special, Dave?
No, I do not.
Why is that?
I think we demonstrated that, Greg.
but you see, that point of view is what you need to take with this movie that you are not a fan of.
Yeah. Well,
let me jump in on this. It's Dave and Nico. Dave, you have the Clone Wars, the two-parter, which was made into a movie. Is that correct?
It was actually a three-parter that was made into a movie.
Okay.
Yeah, it was that theatrical release that came out, you know, before,
in 2008?
After the Tartakovsky, but before the TV show took over on Cartoon Network.
Yeah, so one that was released in the theaters that made a whopping, $500,000?
$86 million.
Same difference.
$86 million.
Maybe we should have Dave be the judge.
I didn't have my stats up in front of me.
I've just been doing a little homework is all. Sorry.
No worries, Snips.
So
okay, Sky Guy.
Oh man.
Don't get cocky, kid.
Alright, so that leaves the last two contestants. We've got the Holiday Special, which will be defended by myself.
Your pleasure, sir.
Yep. Versus Greg's Caravan of Courage.
A.K.A. the Fellowship of the Ewoks.
Now, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say there's your final right there. I mean, Star Wars droids in Clone Wars clearly superior to either the Holiday Special or Caravan of Courage.
I don't know about that, Steve.
I don't know
about that either, Steve.
But
I've watched
I will
all
say
these multiple times. I think you all deserve blue ribbons for watching these. So,
that's great and would be worth an aside or a sidebar in this whole process is that Steve has actually never seen the Holiday Special before undertaking this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find that the most fascinating element out of all of this.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, so I had seen segments for sure, but I yesterday, or was it the day before? I can't remember now. I think it was yesterday. I watched it from beginning to end, all 2 hours and whatever 16 minutes.
It's hard to sit through without a break.
Oh, man. I did take a break. I drank about 6 beer. No, just kidding. yeah. It, you know, I'm thinking right now, having just watched it, this competition is mine to lose.
Okay? I think the first 10 minutes so bad. The break.
Well, now, yeah, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. I will save that for my moment in glory when I get to get to defend why the holiday special is the biggest piece of crap Star Wars that's ever been produced. And I truly believe that I am the front runner, but we shall see. I'm looking forward to this. So this is going to be the
don't get cocky, kid.
Don't get cocky. This is a 3 week competition we have here. So next week we'll go Dave and Nico head to head. All right. And then the following show we'll go.
Unless you guys would you like Steve and I to go first, so you can Dave, you're not quite sure what the format do you want. Do you want Steve and I to go first?
If we wait that long, I'll have to watch it again. So yes, I'd love to go first.
<All right.
laughs> Well, and Scott as the judge. Scott's
that's
got
the attitude right there.
Scott's got to brush up on all of this. So Scott, I need you to watch all of these before next week. Okay.
Would it surprise you that I've already watched all four?
He's got like a recently
starting. He's got a
there's a reason play. Why I've been sick for 9 days.
Oh my god. Oh my goodness. Well,
this
will
be I want to put this out there. I am going to be as fair as possible, but each one of you has an extremely good reason, at least one good reason, that your viewing piece of crap is a piece of crap. There is one thing from each one of those that absolutely could take the lead. So this is going to be a wonderfully tight race.
And you know, you also have to judge, you have to sort of disavow your knowledge of, as hard as that will be for you, Scott, because I know you watch the holiday special on a regular basis.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
But you have to go by the evidence that is presented to you. It is on us as the lawyers in the case to present you, the judge, with our evidence.
I will base it strictly off what you present to me. So even if I feel one of them might be worse than the other, I will base it off of what you present.
All right.
Awesome.
So, guys, what that also means is that you need to send me some clips. And if you would like to have audio as part of your defense or prosecution, as it were, you need to get those to me and I'll have them all queued up for you.
Yeah, I mean, and the easiest thing to do, I would say probably just send – so there, all these videos are on YouTube, so just send Steve the YouTube link and the beginning and stop point that you want him to clip out, and he'll take care of that.
Right.
Cool.
All right.
And not more than – not more than 2 or 3 clips. Just go easy on him so he's not pulling clips from forever.
That's a great point, Greg. Do we want to have like a time limit on this? Do we want to have maybe like 3 clips and maybe like a total of 5 minutes for each argument, something like that?
That's great, because okay. we could make this that episode go on for hours, and I don't think we need to do that.
No doubt. All right, that sounds good. So 3 clips each, 5 minutes. You'll be on the clock. Scott, we'll have to make you the timekeeper on that one. Okay.
Okay, I'll have something set up.
Yep. And, yep.
Wait, quick question. Do our 3 clips count towards our 5 minutes of argument?
I say yes.
I would say no.
I'm with Steve. I say yes.
Yeah, make them short clips. You don't want long clips. Short clips. 30 seconds.
Yeah.
30 second snips.
Okay.
30 second snips.
Excellent.
Way to work in the Snips reference. Guys, guys. It's been a lot of fun. Episode 4 in the books. We have not received an email yet, guys. We want
There's so much more I want to talk about.
We want our listeners to reach out. We want to connect with you, wretchedhive at yahoo.com. On Facebook, facebook.com/wretchedhivepodcast. You can find us on Twitter at wretchedhivepod. And you can find us on iTunes. Search iTunes, The Wretched Hive. And you
can
find
also
us.
Find us on Instagram at @thewretchedhive_podcast.
Guys, it's been fun. We will see you in 2 weeks. Bring your A game next time, guys. The competition is on. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time for episode 5. And may the Force be with you.
Always.